It's a real meaningful moment for me to be here today. Thank you, Shani, for such a wonderful she'or, and especially to speak for the Kol El Yom Rishon, because this was really founded by the Arbisfelds, and it's such a special program. I want to give a tribute to Rabbi Hai Arbisfeld, Zichrono Livracha, and to Anne Arbisfeld, Shetibadel L'chaim Tovim V'Arukim. They were really visionaries, big philanthropists, and big Torah personalities in the sense that they really lived the life of Torah and also always advanced Torah in our community. So again, I just want to thank them for really being Amudei Tavech in our community and really always supporting and being part of and involving themselves in Limud Torah. I want to speak about Kinot and Eicha. And the first time we see the mention of the concept of who wrote the different Sfarim HaTanach, or what are the different Sfarim HaTanach, what are the orders of the different Sfarim HaTanach, it's in the Gemara and Baba Batra. Now, all of you have the sources. I know it was shared. So everyone has who wants to see them. Is that true?
Yeah, the sources are available to download on the page you came from, yitor.org/live. If you go back to that page you came from, there's a link, a button to download those sources.
Okay, so this way everyone has the sources. If I so choose, then I will share a screen, but everyone has access to all the mikorot. Now, in the Gemara and Baba Batra, Daf Yudalad Amud Bet, it speaks about the order of Tanakh. And interestingly enough, originally, the Nevi'im Achronim were ordered in this way. First we had Melachim, and then we had Yirmiyahu, then Yechazkel, and then Yeshayahu. And the reason that Melachim is connected with Yirmiyahu, and then we go to Yechazkel, and then we go to Yeshayahu, is that Yirmiyahu is seen as the Navi of the Churban. As the Gemara states, Yirmiyahu kulei Churbana. Yirmiyahu was seen as the Navi of the Churban, that it's all about Churban. Even though Yirmiyahu does have some prakim of Nechama, we know Perek Lamed Aleph that we read on Rosh Hashanah, the second day, as a Haftarah. And then it says Yecheskel, because Yecheskel starts with Churban. He's one of the Kohanim who is exiled. And then he speaks about Nechama, because he speaks about the Binyan, right, Bayit Shlishi, in the end of Sefer Yecheskel. And then we say Yeshayahu is kulei nechemta. Yeshayahu is all about nechama, and that's why he's in the end. So we start Melachim, which ends with Churban Yerushalayim. We go to Yirmiyahu, then we go to Yecheskel, who's half and half, and Yeshayahu, who's whole. But we all know that Shabbat Chazon is Chazon Yeshayahu about Churban. But all of Yeshayahu has integrated from the beginning till the end, has many prakim of Nechama, and the whole end is Nechama. So Yeshayahu is seen more as the Navi of Nechama, so we end with him in the original order of Tanakh. Today, we don't, right? Today, we have it in the chronological order. But this is important to us because this designation of Yirmiyahu as Navi Churban and his original position right after Melachim. Look at the next source in Baba Batra Tet Vav Amud Aleph. Yirmiyahu, when it talks about who are the authors of the different Sfarim in Tanakh, it says Yirmiyahu Katav Sifro. Yirmiyahu wrote his Sefer and Sefer Melachim and Kinot. And Kinot here means Eicha. In the Gemara, it tells us that Yirmiyahu is the author, right? He is the Navi who wrote Melachim, his own Sefer, and Kinot and Eicha. So they are one unit. They are a unit of Churban. And this unit of Churban is very interesting. Yirmiyahu is the author of all these three Sfarim. He is the Navi who really is the main force. He is the author. He is the Navi who is identified completely with Churban and wrote about Churban. So our first pasuk that we're going to do, since we're studying Eicha, is going to ask the question, right? How do we see that? How do we see that Yirmiyahu really wrote Eicha? What is the message? What is the source? So Rashi, look at source number 3 in Eicha Perek Aleph. In the first words of Eicha, Eicha Yashva Badad, Rashi, as is his way, writes in many different places when he introduces a sefer. He doesn't write a whole introduction, right? When we have Ramban many times writes a bigger introduction. Ibn Ezra, the Chachamim of Sfar, they write big introductions right before different Sfarim. But Rashi writes just within his first pasuk, boom, and he gives you the whole synopsis, an entire message about the Sefer. So Rashi says, Yirmiyahu katav Sefer Kinot, Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha, just like we see from the Gemara. And he explains further, and this Rashi is really based on a Gemara in Moed Katan Kavav Amud Aleph, that these prakim of Eicha are the Megillah shesaraf Yoyakim ala'ach. We're going to see in our next perek, which we're going to do in Yirmiyahu, is that these prakim of Eicha are really the prakim that Yirmiyahu already wrote before Hurban, presented them to Yehoyakim, and Yehoyakim was so upset that he rips it up, he throws it into the fire, and as a result, Yirmiyahu then rewrites these prakim, and he even adds more intense tragedies, threefold. Look at the Rashi. Rashi explains, V'od nosaf aleim dvarim rabim kahema. Rashi adds more and more things according to the tragedies, which means more tragedies. Yoyakim thought he'd get rid of the tragedies by burning it, but we see that these tragedies are threefold because he burnt them. And that is the source, right, the Medrash that Rashi's quoting is saying, for number one, the acrostic. The Gemara in Shabbat explains that why do we have Eicha according to Aleph Bet? If you look carefully, three of the prakim of Eicha are the regular Aleph Bet. And then we have the third perek. If you look at the source I have for you, number nine, Eicha Perigimel. Eicha Perigimel is a triple acrostic. We have the Aleph Bet, and we have Aleph, 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 Bet, Bet, Bet. And again, why? Because Nosaf Aleim Dvarim Rabim Kahema. Because Yoyakim thought he was going to destroy the Megillah, but no, because he destroyed it and didn't listen to Dvar Hashem, right, Bnei Israel got triple fold, in a sense, of this tragedy. And Rashi doesn't mention it in the introduction, but we're going to see that Perek Hay is not according to the Aleph Bet. So one explanation, why is Eicha according to the Aleph Bet? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kufdalet explains that really, Bnei Israel sinned so badly and did all the chataim from Aleph to Taf, A to Z, so to speak, and that's why they deserve this criticism from A to Z, using every single letter of the alphabet. In Perakei, because at one point the alphabet is not really enough. It's a good structure, but it's not enough. You need even more than that. And that's why Perakei is more of a free explanation of what Chorban is all about, not connected rigidly to the Aleph Bet, which means at one point we needed more of a free explanation, more of a freedom of description of what this Chorban was. So according to Rashi, who bases it on the Gemara, we saw in Baba Batra and in Moed Katan, so Yirmiyahu is writing Eicha already before Chorban. In a sense, it's a nevuah for Chorban, and we're going to explain a little once we finish in Yirmiyahu to see how come then it's not a sefer in nevuah. Why is it in the Megillot? Why is it part of Ketuvim and not part of the nevuah? Ibn Ezra says no. Eicha clearly is a description of the Chorban as it was. So it must have been written post-Chorban, not before Chorban, as a nevuah of what is going to happen. So let's look at number four. We'll look at Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav. What do we see in Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav? In Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav, it's in the fourth year of Yoyakim, and we see that Hashem comes to Yirmiyahu and he says, take a Megillat Sefer. And this is one of the major sources of the Mesorah, of the Gemara. It says very clearly that Yirmiyahu will take a Megillat Sefer. He takes this Megillah and he writes about all the Chorban that's going to happen. And what's the idea, Pasuk Gimel? That maybe Bnei Israel will hear the Ra'ah that Hashem is thinking of doing to them, and then they're going to do tshuva. Yashuvu ish midarko ha-ra'ah v'salachti la'avonam ulachatatam. So the message of Yirmiyahu is that if they would hear all the tragedies that are going to befall them in the future, they're going to do tshuva and they wouldn't want the Chorba to come because they're going to see how awful it's going to be. And Yirmiyahu tells the scribe Baruch Ben Neriah, and Baruch Ben Neriah writes everything on this Megillah. And Yirmiyahu says, look, I'm in jail. And we know that Yirmiyahu, during the time of Yoyakim, during the short time of Yoyachin, and during part of the time of Tzidkiyahu, Yirmiyahu was in prison. He was in Chatzar Hara. And he always sent messengers to give his nevuot during that time period. So he sends Baruch ben Neriya. And Baruch ben Neriya goes to Yerushalayim during the time of Tzom, not during the regular Tzomot that we know of Yom Kippur. But he goes during a time of Tzom, because Bnei Israel were embattled, and they know that they go to the Beit HaMikdash, and that's where they are going to be forgiven. As we know, Shlomo explains, what do you do when there's Sara? You go to the Beit HaMikdash, and you daven, and you have a tzom. So Bnei Israel are in the Beit HaMikdash. Baruch ben Neriya reads this horrible Megillah of what Churban is going to be, and telling everyone to do real tshuva. Everyone tells the other person, but everyone's afraid to tell the king. Finally, they bring it to the king, and they say, look, this is what Yirmiyahu is saying. So the messengers say, okay, you must bring this message to the melech. They bring this message to the melech. Now I'm skipping to Pasuk Kaf Gimel. They bring it to the melech, and this is the source for Rashi and the Midrash. As he's reading a few of the pages or a few of the columns in the Megillah, because we know Megillah is one piece, and it's written just like a Sefer Torah in the Megillah, it's written column and column. As he's reading column and column, right, they rip the Megillah, and they throw it into the fire. Vayehi kikro Yehudi shalosh dlatot va'arba'a, yikra'ea betar ha-sofer, v'hashlech el ha'esh asher al ha'ach. They throw it into the fire. And this, if you look in Pasuk Kaf Bet, is in the wintertime. So we know it's not Yom Kippur. This is in Kislev, when the king is in his winter home, a place that's more secure, right, heated, and it's a place where they can light a fire and be warm. So he throws it into the fire, and they don't do tshuva, they don't rip their clothes, they don't do anything when they hear this terrible tragedy. So what does Hashem tell him? If you look in Pasuk Kafchet, again, take a Megillah, and because the word Megillah, 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 Megillah is mentioned so many times, and it's talking about the future destruction that will happen to Am Yisrael that's going to happen, this is the source for the idea that Yirmiyahu wrote Megillat Eicha even before the Churban. It's a nevuah about the events that are going to happen. And because you ripped it, and because you didn't do tshuva when you heard this. Now remember, when Yonah tells Ashur, Nineveh, that they're going to have Churban, they all do tshuva. So the contrast is very stark. We have many Nevi'im who always came, told Bnei Israel to do tshuva. But here we have Yirmiyahu, who was established as an important Navi. This is the message. They're bringing it at a Yom Tzom to the Melech. And interesting that he is in his house, but he's not with all of Bnei Israel who congregated to do tshuva. So therefore, what is going to be the punishment? Yoyakim and his whole future are going to be destroyed, and his progeny, and there won't be future kings. Meaning there is Tzidkiyahu, but he also is destroyed, and his son Yoyachin is taken into Galut. But look at Pasuk Lamed Bet. Yirmiyahu lakach Megillah acher. So Yirmiyahu takes another Megillah, and he gives it to his scribe, Baruch ben Neriya, who is writing, Vayichtov alea mi pi Yirmiyahu, it kol divrei ha-sefer asher saraf Yoyakim. He writes everything that Yehoyakim ripped. So all the nevuah that Yirmiyahu received is in this Megillah. But the od nosaf alehem dvarim rabim kahema. But he adds dvarim rabim kahema. He adds threefold, says the Midrash. Dvarim, one. Rabim, many. Kahema, like them. So Eicha, in a sense, according to Rashi and many of the views, includes nevuah of Yirmiyahu, but also his own Ruach HaKodesh, right? The Ketuvim are written in Ruach HaKodesh. His own Ruach HaKodesh that was added also about what the Churban, right, is going to be. And maybe, right, even after the Churban, this is the big debate. Rav Yosef Kara says that this Megillah is a regular Megillah, is a regular Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu wrote only after the Churban, the description of what went on. So that is a big debate. But this is the source for the very important Midrash, and also why, how could it be, if it's Nevuah, how could it also be in Ketuvim? But very clearly, Yirmiyahu is the author of Eicha. And where do we see the sources of when Churban happened? So Eicha is, according to Rashi, for the future, according to Yosef Kara, who Mahari Kara, who is a contemporary of Rashi and Troish, and Ibn Ezra, who's from Sfarad originally, it is really post-Chorban. It's describing what happened during the Chorban. But what do we see in Yirmiyahu and in Sefer Melachim about the Chorban? In Yirmiyahu, if you look at source number 5, it says, U'bachodesh ha-chamishi in Av, which is the 5th month, ba'asor lachodesh, that's when they came and they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. They destroyed every big house. They destroyed that palace of the king. What is going on? It says, b'chodesh ha-chamishi av, but in the 10th day. And in Malachim, if you look at number 6 in Perek Hafei, it says, u'bachodesh ha-chamishi b'shiv'a lachodesh, on the 7th day of Av. So which is it? Is it the 10th day or the 7th day? The truth is, we celebrate the 9th day. We mourn Yerushalayim on the 9th day of Av, in the middle. One view is that Yirmiyahu, when he's writing, is talking about when the Churban, already Yerushalayim, is burnt to a crisp on the 10th day. And that's why when we do our Avilut, we wait till the 10th day in the afternoon to shave, to wash clothes, to do all those things. This year it's a little different because it's going to be Erev Shabbat. But we wait till the afternoon because the burning didn't cease till the 10th day. So for Yirmiyahu, the total destruction is the main thing to emphasize. But Yirmiyahu himself, because as we saw, Yirmiyahu also wrote Malachim, and he wrote Malachim right before or contemporary to when he's writing Sefer Yirmiyahu. In Malachim, he writes, U'bachodesh ha-chamishi b'shiva lachodesh. Because in Sefer Malachim, it's a retrospective. Yirmiyahu is writing all the history of Am Yisrael from the time of Shlomo to really explain to us why Chorban happened. What were the sins of the Malachim? What were the sins of Am Yisrael? And we go through king after king after king. And the history of Yerushalayim, and especially the Beit HaMikdash, what led towards Chorban. So for Sefer Malachim, what's most important for Yirmiyahu is to emphasize that first moment when the Beit HaMikdash was put on fire, when the king's house was put on fire, when it was ignited, when the destruction starts, and we have this unbelievable unfolding of this terrible tragedy. The Medrash says, okay, we're going to take that middle time. The Medrash says, we have already a day all the way back from the Meraglim. The Gemara in Tainis, Kafted Amud Aleph, explains that when the Meraglim came back and told Bnei Israel about Eretz Israel with their report, they were reporting negatively about Eretz Israel. And all of Bnei Israel cried. So we have the famous phrase, you cried for that one time when it was really not necessarily sari and it wasn't really called for, then I'm going to give you bichya ledorot. You're going to have to cry for generations. And what night was it? Tisha B'Av. And the truth is, this became our national day for national mourning. And many tragedies happened on this day. We have the 9th of Av is the Meraglim. We have Beit Mikdash Aleph and Bet happened on the 9th of Av. The Bar Kochva revolt was crushed and Beitar was destroyed on the 9th of Av. The Roman governor Turnus Rufus plowed Yerushalayim, so it will be totally destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So again, these are dates, right, throughout all of our Jewish history. In 1492, the Jews were expelled from Spain on Tisha B'Av. So we have this date being that moment of tragedy. Until this very day, we commemorate all these tragedies and we say many kinot and we remember these events on Tisha B'Av throughout different communities who were struck by different things. I know in our community, we also read the kinot for the Holocaust on Tisha B'Av in addition to when Yom HaShoah is celebrated, because Tisha B'Av is that national day of mourning. It's that day of mourning that even though it's over 2,000 years later, we still acknowledge as the moment that we remember destruction in Am Yisrael. Now, finally, we're going to get to Eicha itself. So look at source number 7. We're starting with Eicha Perek Aleph. So what does it tell us in Eicha? When we read Eicha Tisha B'Av, what are some of the messages that we are internalizing? Today, I'm going to do a detail Eicha Perek Aleph, and then we're going to discuss Eicha Perek He. When you look at Eicha, Eicha Yashva Badad, Ha'ira Bati Am, Haitak Almana. We introduce Yerushalayim, and the main theme we have is abandonment, being desolate, alone. Also, a description of Yerushalayim as a city, but personified as a woman. But in the beginning of Eicha, we speak about Yerushalayim in third person. Yerushalayim, like a woman, alone, abandonment. We're not even identifying yet with Yerushalayim, which means it's such a difficult concept to describe that we can't even speak in first person. It's about Yerushalayim. It's about the city. Rabati Bagoyim, Yerushalayim was this center of beauty, of success in all of the cities, but now it pays tribute. It pays taxes, which means from the pinnacle success to the lowest nadir. This is what happened to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim became a lowly country, a lowly city, where it used to be the crown jewel of the entire world. We know the beauty that came to Yerushalayim, the hod that came to Yerushalayim, the hadar, and now Yerushalayim is desolate, alone. And that is the contrast, which means what happened to Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim was the best, and now it's the worst. We were with Hashem, we had the Beit HaMikdash, a direct avenue to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we are totally abandoned and alone, like an almana, like a widow. We always speak about the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Am Yisrael in two ways, as a parent-child and as a husband-wife. And what is one of the worst things that could happen? This idea of being a widow, of this loss. So we're going to see Rashi later says it's ke'almana. Of course Hashem didn't abandon us completely. That's why it says ke'almana, like a widow, because we're not a widow, because Hashem can never leave us. And this is the concept we'll end with the words of the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. But what's fascinating here is this message of abandonment. That is what Eicha wants to show us, that even though we were so close to Hashem, this distance, this separation can happen. Bachotif kebalaila, and double language is very important in Tanakh. What does Yerushalayim do? Yerushalayim is crying at night. And the tears of Yerushalayim are on her face because she's always crying. She's always constantly crying. Again, this idea of abandonment. Ein la menachem mikol ohaveh. All the people she loved don't care about her. Abandonment. Eicha Perek Aleph wants to start with abandonment. And what does it mean, ohaveh? Obviously, Hashem is going to give us nechama, but Bnei Yisrael, we're looking to false lovers. We're looking to false gods. We're looking to money, to success. We're looking not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result, all these things that they thought would give them comfort do not. So they were looking outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for comfort, and nothing can comfort Bnei Yisrael. They lost this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody who was her friend really became her enemy. So it's not just that they're not pro. They became their enemies. They turned on Yerushalayim. They turned on Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel tried to join with Egypt to fight against the enemies. They turned to Moab, Ammon, to Edom, and everyone abandoned them. No one helped them fight against their great enemy. If they would have relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they would have been able to defeat their enemy. So they looked outside, and now they're looking around, abandonment, alone. And Hashem is the one who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, destroyed Yerushalayim. So it's not like they can turn to Hashem. They are, but Hashem is showing them, you did this. Now, finally, after all the generations where I sent Nevi'im, destruction has finally happened. So Galta Yehuda, Pasuk Gimel, you see the alphabet, Eicha, Bacho, Galta. So Yerushalayim, Yehuda went into Galut, and it doesn't find Manoach. It's not finding any place of respite. And that's a very important message, because what's the whole idea of Noach? Noach, even though there was a Mabul going on, Noach did find, he was a Manoach. Eventually he found a place. But when they sent out the raven, she doesn't find a Manoach. When they sent out the Yonah first, she doesn't find Manoach. And especially were identified like Cain, who had to go Navanad. He didn't find Minucha. He was Navanad because his land, his Adama was cursed. This is the feeling that Bnei Israel have. This is what Eicha is eliciting. Darchei Tzion Avelot, every step and all the pathways of Yerushalayim are now empty, are desolate, because originally everyone used to come to Beit HaMikdash to celebrate. And all the Kohanim worked there, and all the young women would come and celebrate in Yerushalayim. And now it is empty. Everything that was great about Yerushalayim is now destroyed. Now look at Pasuk Hey. So many of its enemies are now successful. Ki Hashem Hoga al Rov Psha'eha. In Pasuk Hei is the first time that we speak about Chata'im. Because Hashem is now looking to all of our Chata'im. For hundreds of years, the Nevi'im came and told Bnei Israel to do tshuva. But Bnei Israel did not do tshuva. So finally Hashem says, okay, I'm going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. He was saying this all the years, but now it's finally coming true. First time in Eicha now we discuss that it is because of the Pisha'im. It's because of the Chata'im of Am Yisrael. It's really Midah keneged Midah. It's not just because Hashem did it wantonly and he wants to punish Am Yisrael. But here in Eicha, this understanding that it is because of the Pisha'im. And everything left from Yerushalayim, the Hadar, look at Pasuk Vav and Zion, all the beauty, all the unique things about Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim was always remembered for. Ah, Yerushalayim Klilat Yofi, what a beautiful city. Now it is desolate, it is in Chorban. Look at Pasuk Chet, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. Again, this idea, now we talk about the Chet, we're approaching this concept that oh, such terrible destruction. We speak about Yerushalayim in third person originally because we can't even understand and internalize the Chorban. But we see it and we see how it's happening and we can't identify yet with it and say, oh, it's us. Even in Pasuk Hei, it was Hashem punishes Yerushalayim because of its Chata'im. Even here, it says, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. Again, speaking in third person. What's the idea of Chet Chata Yerushalayim? The Meshech Chochma explains, why is it double language? Because Avera Goreret Avera. Sin really leads to more sin, which means Chet Chata Yerushalayim. So once they did one sin, it just led to more. And that's what the double sin is here. Another view of Rav Moshe Feinstein and that the Rav also spoke about, the idea that Chet Chata, one is a Chet B'machshava and one is a Chet B'maaseh, which means many times you have to think about a Chet, but you won't do it. But if you think about it and then you do it, like lo tachmod, that idea, then you're punished doubly, not only for the maaseh, but also for the machshava. And Yerushalayim's tuma is so obvious to all. And again, look at pasupet, ve'ein menachem la. It has no comforters. What do we know about nicham aveilim? Nicham aveilim is this beautiful idea that if your loved one, we only sit, right, Shiva, for our closest relatives. So the idea that we don't have any comforters, the whole idea is to be comforted. But Yerushalayim is so desolate that it doesn't have any comforters. No one can comfort Yerushalayim. It's in such a state that it doesn't feel that anything anyone could say can comfort Yerushalayim. Now look at Pasuk Tet, though, how it ends. Re'ei Hashem et oni'i ki higdil oyev. Now, this is really like the stages of agony, of avilut, of mourning. All of a sudden now, for the first time, we're speaking in the first verse, look at our suffering because of the enemy. Now we're speaking first about us. We're identifying Yerushalayim and us, Knesset Yisrael and Yerushalayim, understanding that this terrible tragedy that happened to Yerushalayim, and of course to us, is really because we sinned and Hashem see our plight. And look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, Re'ei Hashem v'habita ki hayiti zo leila. Now all of a sudden starts the lesson and the message of vidui. Yes, I was gluttonous. I wanted money. I wanted success. I wanted everything and I abandoned you. Now first the understanding that the punishment is coming because of the actions of Bnei Israel. But you see how much time it takes to get there because this is a terrible tragedy to Am Yisrael, and to identify with it is very difficult. Look at Pasuk Yudet. Ha'im yesh mach'ov kimachovi asher olali. There's no pain like mine. The pain that is going on in Am Yisrael is really extreme. There is no pain like my pain. Bnei Yisrael are admitting that this Chorban is so entrenched, is so deep. Netanani shomeman Pasuk Yud Gimel. We are completely desolate. And what happened? All of the best and the brightest. Look at Pasuk Tetvav. It's a holiday to destroy our young men, our young women, our babies. Throughout all these Pasukim, we're talking about all the different communities that are part of Yerushalayim, all the different populations of Am Yisrael, which means there is no future. The way Yerushalayim was destroyed, the message is that we feel that there's no future. All the young, the best, the brightest, everyone was destroyed. And now there is no going future, going towards the future. And look at Pasuk Tetzayin, Lachen al Eila ani bochia. Therefore, I am crying, right? Pasuk Bet was Bachot tifkeh balayla. Yerushalayim is crying. But now we are al Eila ani bochia. We are crying. So now we're not even speaking in third person anymore. We are totally involved and entrenched in this destruction and in this avelot. Eini, eini, yor damayim. Look how many times we use this double language. Eini, eini, yor damayim. We are crying. Our eyes are full of tears. Before we said, oh, our cheeks are never dry. But now we're just crying and crying. You really see this image of Yerushalayim again. Ki rachak mimeni menachem. Meshiv nafshi. What do we expect from Nichum Avelim? What do we expect from Hashem? Meshiv nafshi. Hashem returns our soul to us. He rejuvenates us. He gives us life. Right now, we are dead, right? We are empty of a neshama. We do not have our nefesh. We do not have this unbelievable life force, which we had and that Yerushalayim was for Am Yisrael. Everybody is totally involved in this Korban. Look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ein menachem la. Yerushalayim is putting out her hands to get nechama, but no one is giving Yerushalayim nechama. No one is caring about Yerushalayim. We're looking here or there, trying to reach out to others, but no one is, because everyone abandoned us. And because we abandoned Hashem at this moment, Hashem, we can't say the word abandoned us, but we feel that abandonment. We feel that we can't get nechama. We feel that we can't approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And look at Pasuk Yudchet. Sadiku Hashem ki pihu mariti siduk hadin. We are agreeing that Hashem is righteous and he did the right thing and that we deserve it. This idea of siduk hadin is very important here, because till now we're angry. We know that we sinned. But making that leap to say, not only did we sin and we deserve it, but Hashem is just, because this is a terrible tragedy, is a big moment. So you really see in Eicha, in even Perk Aleph already, there are so many levels of the importance of Chorban, of Avelut, of tragedy, and of trying to deal and come close to this important idea of closeness to Hashem, or realizing why this tragedy happened, and then trying to move forward. Again, Pasukaf, we talk about our rebellion, that we rebelled against Hashem, Maro Mariti. So Eicha Perek Aleph is all about this double language, this idea of no comfort, Ein Menachem. It's mentioned five times in Perek Aleph, and Bnei Israel feel desolate and feel that everyone was destroyed, the future, the young, and there's no future for Am Yisrael. And the end of Perek Aleph in Pasuk Kafbed, we ask, pay back all those people who did this terrible tragedy to us. If you look at Rashi, and we're just going to discuss some of the ideas that Rashi discusses, and that's in an 8 of Pasuk Aleph. Rashi says, why is she crying? Bachot tifkeh. He also adds the idea of shtei bechiyot. This is going to be for Chorban Bayit Aleph and Chorban Bayit Bet. All this double that we speak about is not just for the actions of Bayit Rishon, but it's also going to be repeated again, that Bnei Israel are going to sin again. So the bechiyah that we started here in Melachim / Eicha / Yirmiyahu, right? That time of Am Yisrael is going to be repeated over and over during different times in the tragedy of Am Yisrael. That this bichiyah is going to be every so often, right? There's going to be this terrible bichiyah. So think about the future of Am Yisrael. And in Pasuk Tet, Parati lema'ahavai. What does it mean? I turn to people who are my lovers, people who I love, right? People who show themselves. Shemarim atzmam ke'ohavim. A big problem is not to really know who the people who care about you, or who the entities who really care about you are. And what Eicha really teaches us is that the real one who cares about us is always Hashem. So even while Eicha is crying out to Hashem that we feel abandoned, we're crying out to Hashem because we know that he will always love us and always care about us, and he will never leave us. If you look number 10, Eicha Perek Hei, the last perek, which is not according to the alphabet, we see a more freestyle description, right? And crying out to Hashem. And in Perek Hey, we're seeing a different style. Now, what I did for you, which is very interesting, is that I put the kin'ah that we do. The first kin'ah that we read on Leil Tisha B'Av is Perek Hey, right, as a kin'ah, which means we repeat Perek Hey, and then we say Oy Mehayalanu in the end. And in Ashkenaz, after a few psukim, they started adding some extra words as like an explanation of what Perek Hey is about. So this kinah is the Echa, is the Perek and Echa, with an explanation and a cry out to Hashem, Oy Mehayalanu. What's the idea? The idea is that we're taking a Perek in Echa, and by saying Oy Mehayalanu, not only are we speaking about the Chorban then, but we're identifying with the Chorban. And that's what a lot of the kinot are about, that we put ourselves in that place. We feel that Chorban, and we understand that Chorban and the Chorbanot that were throughout all the generations, and we identify with Yerushalayim, which is what Chorban is about and why we celebrate Tisha B'Av, and it's such an important day on the calendar. And this is another way of internalizing it and understanding it, but also crying out to Hashem, Zuchor Hashem mehayalanu. Hashem, you have to remember us, which means Perek Hey, even though it's a kina of reaching out to Hashem, admitting that we did sins and that's why this happened to us. If you look at Pasuk Dalet, why is our money worth nothing like water? Because we didn't do nisuch hamayim. Oy mehayalanu. Which means taking responsibility for a lot of the chataim. If you look further, why are we being run after by enemies? Because we did sinat chinam. We didn't care about others. And we know the famous midrash, sinat chinam is for Bayit Sheni, right? Bayit Sheni was destroyed because of sinat chinam. Bayit Rishon for Avodah Zarah and Bayit Sheni for sinat chinam. And if you look very carefully throughout all of this kina, which is really Perek Hey with an explanation, with Oy Mehayalanu, we see that one after the other, it's an admission of sins, which means on the one hand, Hashem, remember, look what happened to us. It's true that we deserve this, but Oy Mehayalanu, you are our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to show us Rachami. Remember, you give this punishment, but now you also have to redeem us. We were punished for this sin. So now, Oy mehayalanu, you also owe us the Yeshua. And that's why beautifully, Perek Hey in Echa and this Kina, which we read Leil Tisha B'Av, and as Rashi explains, we read this at night because the Chorban happened at night, and at night when you cry, right, it's way more tragic and way more gut-wrenching. Look at Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Let's do Pasuk Yutet, Kaf Aleph, and Kaf Bet. We're in source 10 in the Kinav Echa. Ata Hashem le'olam keshev kisachal dor vador, which means in the end of Echa, we say to Hashem, you are infinite. Don't forget us, pasukaf. Lama la'netzach tishkachenu ta'azvenu le'orach yamim. You can't leave us forever. And you can't leave us for a long time. Hashivenu Hashem elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. Hashem, bring us closer to you and renew our days as of old. We're crying out to Hashem that he should bring us to do tshuva. Ki im ma'os ma'astanu katzafta aleinu ad ma'od. Because if you revile us and you demean us, your anger is way too much than it should be, which means there has to be some justice here. And you all know that we never finish a haftarah, we never finish a megillah with negative language. So we finish all of Echa with Hashem, bring us close to you. Chadesh yaminu kekedem. Which means Hashem, just like you brought the destruction in a sense, it's your obligation. Hashivenu Hashem elecha benashuva. Just like Yirmiyahu says, and we have a lot of similarities in language to Yirmiyahu. Hashiveni ve'ashuva ki ata Hashem elokai, that we say in Perek Lamed Aleph on Rosh Hashanah. Which means you have to bring us back. You have to first take that step of bringing us close, showing us that you care about us, and then we can continue the process of tshuva. The Rav, so beautifully, that I have in source number 11, says that how could we ask, oi, and how could you do this to us? Echa, echa, how could Hashem you do this? Such a terrible tragedy. And the Rav beautifully explains that on Tisha B'Av, we can ask this question. And that's why all the Kinot can ask this question as well. Hashem, how could you do this? Even though all the other times in the year, even when a close member dies, we do Tziduk Adin. Right? Baruch Dayan Hemet, that Hashem is the Tzadik, and he is the one who is just. But here we ask the questions, how could you do it? I'm so abandoned. Even when we admit our sin, but this is such a terrible tragedy, right? How can Hashem do this? Hashem, you have to bring us closer and bring us back to you. But on Tisha B'Av, ironically and beautifully, as the Rav explains, that's the moment that we realize our close relationship with Hashem. Because it's all-embracing and all-inclusive. It's endless and without limitation. There's an absolute relationship of love between the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing can spoil it. So even though in Eicha we're crying out to Hashem and we're upset and we're so abandoned, we're crying out to Hashem to come back closer to us. We're not just crying out. We're crying out to Hashem the whole time, which means we want Hashem to bring us closer because we know deep down that that relationship can never be severed. And it's always special. And we know that the covenant of Hashem and Am Yisrael is eternal. And Hashem will never leave Am Yisrael, even though there are times of tragedy and there are times of destruction and there are times of Hester Panim. We know that Hashem's love for Am Yisrael is eternal. And that's why we cry out to him and we ask him, right? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadesh yameinu kekedem. And that's why even on Tisha B'Av, where it's our lowest point, where the Chorban happened, and we remember all the tragedies that happened to Am Yisrael, and difficulties and destructions, and we know even, you know, just a few generations before us, terrible tragedy for all of Am Yisrael. We know that Hashem is still with us, and we look towards Hashem. So even built in to Eicha, and this idea of destruction and abandonment, as we said, in five times in Perek Aleph, it says, Ein la menachem, we end with Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Embedded in Eicha, in our relationship with Hashem, even in tragedy, is this idea of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I hope that we feel that when we read Eicha, on the one hand, identify with the tragedy of Yerushalayim, identify with Achenu, Kol Beit Yisrael, of what happened, and realize this terrible Chorban and how it affected Am Yisrael, and really the whole world. But on the other hand, understand that it also shows us of our close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this avenue of really crying out to Hashem, of reaching out to Hashem, is always open to us, even in the terrible time of tragedy or abandonment. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva chadesh yameinu kekedem.